This is what the fellows program is not, okay? It is not bringing in a bunch of people from the outside to tell us how it's done and do it, right? It's actually to take amazing innovators from the outside and marry them up with amazing innovators on the inside. And again, a mashup of citizen innovators and government innovators to actually, in a team, get stuff done that is incredibly beneficial for the American people in a rapid time frame. And so, and just to make it even more concrete, right, all five ideas were actually not sourced from the outside. They were sourced from our own agencies. Right? We actually said, who wants to do one of these projects? Who actually has a need to do this mashup of our best innovators with folks with complementary life experience and expertise? And so these five projects won the bake-off. We actually had a cage match where the agencies brought their projects and actually presented them to each other and voted. And these are the ones that actually won the voting. And they specifically said, we commit to making these a priority. These are things that are mission critical for us. We actually have existing funds to make them happen. We want to make them happen in the best possible way. We will put our best innovators on them. And we have specific needs for complementary expertise to bring in to mash up with our best people to, in a team, get this done. And that mashup of the best of the public and the best of the private sector, the best of our government innovators and the best of citizen innovators, that's really the guiding ethos of the whole Innovation Fellows program.
6 months to get this done is incredible. That's aggressive, and it's maybe even a little pie in the sky. What is the end goal? I mean, a lot of you talk about prototyping, you talk about let's see where we can go, but in your mind, what do you hope gets done in January?
So let me actually, if you don't mind terribly, walk through each of the five, you know, because I mean, they're each different. So with the open data initiatives, the idea is we're launching a safety data initiative, an education data initiative, an energy data initiative, an impact data initiative about nonprofit data. We're doubling down health data initiative. And with each of the new data initiatives, what we're doing is we are convening, we already have convened an event like this for both the safety and the energy data initiatives, but we're convening an ideation summit where we bring together data owners and innovators from inside the government with innovators from outside the government to actually look at the data that is being made available, could be made available, and then dream up amazing things you could do with that data. And then at the end of that session, we're publishing that intellectual capital, all those ideas for what you could actually build with the data for the whole American public to see. And then we're challenging folks to, in 90 days, come to a education data palooza, a energy data palooza, a safety data palooza, and actually show us the prototypes, show America the prototypes of those ideas, prototypes and working product. We actually did this in 2010. To kick off the Health Day Initiative, and it worked beautifully. Like, people just did amazing things. And at those data palooza, two things happen. One, other innovators see what people have done, get inspired, and do more. And then data owners inside the government, right, understand in living, breathing detail, right, in living color, the value proposition of making your data machine readable and available, because then folks will build services like these on top of it. And so that encourages more data liberation in machine readable form, which encourages more innovation, which then begets more data liberation, which begets more innovation, becomes a virtual cycle. So we want to get one of those cycles under our belt, right? Of do the ideation summit, make the data available, get innovation to happen in a 90-day sprint, showcase that, and go from there. So that's actually the Open Data Initiatives project. I'm going in no particular order. I mean, they're all my favorites. So MyGov is actually, I think, particularly important to articulate the goal, right? So it's not to actually complete a production system for the entire American government actually covers every citizen need, okay? While it's not a perfect analogy, one that actually probably has more virtue to cite than not is the AlphaGov project that the UK did, right, where they had a team in 90 days put together a alpha prototype that they actually put out there that didn't cover every possible need, but covered a bunch of needs. And the point of putting it out there, right, wasn't for it to be kind of the mission-critical production system for the American government, but actually get very concrete feedback from folks as to what was working well, what wasn't working well, and then feed a beta, and then feed production. So we want to get an alpha prototype out there that isn't the kind of one ring to rule them all, okay, but is actually a prototype that can really put flesh on the bones of the idea and teaches a lot about actually where to go next. So that's actually MyGov. RFPEZ, the idea is to create a beta of a process and a platform with a set of test agencies, or willing to be the betas, to figure out how to do this, right? To figure out what the issues are and actually make it easier, right, for these agencies to procure solutions from innovative small companies. Blue Button for America, actually Blue Button has the benefit of actually, being way beyond beta, right? So, I mean, VA, Medicare, DOD have already done it, and actually folks like Aetna and, other folks in the private sector have already done it. So it's actually really just scaling that further, and that includes actually the development of a open source patient portal that can be used by folks to actually help Blue Buttonize their data. And then the 20% campaign, again, it's not about converting every single payment in the world to mobile and electronic in 6 months. But it's to make substantial progress. It's like figure out, well, what are the issues you have to kind of crush to do that, right? And then you put together a coalition of agencies and actually a coalition of NGOs on top of the agencies and companies and make progress against whatever the issues turn out to be. And so at the end of 6 months, you really have a well-defined effort. It actually has begun to score points. The path forward is clear, and we know what to do next to execute to eventually get to the point where we're predominantly doing electronic and mobile payments.
When you look at the private sector, are they already down a path that the government maybe is a little behind on? Now, we've heard for years that the government's behind, missing the tech revolution, and I think some would disagree with that concept, but at least you can point out to some areas where things have fallen behind. A lot of what is in the digital management strategy is already considered maybe best practices or at least leading practices in the private sector?
So I think there is a lot that we can learn from the private sector, but I also frankly think there's a lot that the private sector can learn from us. So I don't think that anybody has a monopoly on wisdom and virtue. And so, in fact, I think actually the true magic for America lies in the mashup of the public and private sector. And so you can really see that embedded in the heart of the digital governance strategy and in the heart of the Presidential Innovation Fellows projects that we're launching. So, for example, right, turn our data into a platform. Make it easier for us to build services on top of it, and make it easier for everyone else outside government to build services on top of it with the common goal of delivering an array of services that neither the public nor private sector can come up with alone, but mashed up together can deliver and create all kinds of benefit for the American people, improve lives, and create jobs.